Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
You know, every time we do the hockey playoff opening music, I look at it, I'm like, well, it's only 58 seconds. And then as it's playing, I'm like, damn, that's a long 58 seconds. Like, you just feel it. Hello, everyone. This is Patrick McDowd, joined, of course, by my good friend David Ungar, welcoming you into another edition of Hockey Talk, hopefully with a stronger voiced Patrick O'Dowd this week over last week. I am progressing. Dave, I'm getting there. I should be able to record both shows this week.
That would be an improvement.
Yeah, it's definitely an improvement. It has been a frustrating road to recovery, man, because I don't know if it's that I'm older now, you know, like if it's the age thing, but I just remember a time when you would get sick, be it cold, flu, or whatever, and you would recover in a few days and kind of be right as rain and everything will be all right. And suddenly something has happened in my elder year where, like, my lungs, after I have a cold of any sort, like, you know what? We're going to fuck with your voice. We're going to make you cough incessantly, even though, like, I feel fine. And it is so weird when the lungs decide, nope, today we're going to, this is the time. For example, after I eat breakfast every morning, and have like cold cereal. Is it the milk that's just so cold in my cereal that then my lungs are like, that's my life. I don't know. And maybe I'm just an old man griping about nothing. I don't know. Is this true for you? You're 900 years old. Like, is this what happens when you get sick?
Well, my immune system is a little odd because of the autoimmune condition. So it, I don't tend to get like sick. Cause it's like, I've equated it that my immune system is too busy trying to beat the hell out of myself, that if anything gets near it, that's not, you know, that's not it. Anything foreign, it's just like, we're going to kill you now. And, that sort of thing. So like, even, you know, a couple times I've caught COVID, it was like nothing, you know, maybe a fever for one day and that sort of thing. And I don't know. I don't usually get that way, but every once in a while, you know, cold and flu season.
Sure.
You know, you were just around hundreds of thousands of people, so could be anything.
I think I shared this. Maybe did I share this last week? So this was purely anxiety induced. So I think I'm pretty open about my own like sort of mental health and the way I am with like myself and how I treat myself. And I have some level of anxiety. I don't take any meds for it or anything like that. It's just and not anxiety in like that sort of like, oh, kind of nervous about this thing. Like I will have anxiety attacks that will keep me up nights, like over and over and over again. And one of my big responsibilities in the work I do at my job at the University of Massachusetts is that I am a major part of our move out process of moving our students out of the dorms. I basically chair the planning committee. Like I don't run all of move out, but like I'm the guy who gets everybody together, puts together the agenda, and we delegate who's going to do what and what is happening, when and where and how and all of that. And so right at the end of April, like April 30th, as I was going to bed, oddly enough, I sat there laughingly thinking to myself of the old Justin Timberlake meme that people would put out on April 30th, where it's roses are red, April is gray, but come tomorrow, it's gonna be May. And I'm like, haha. And then honest to God, I went, UMass closes in 2.5 weeks. And I went into full on anxiety mode about, God, is everything where I want it to be? Is it as ready as I want it to be? I didn't sleep well for 2 days. By the end of the day on Thursday, I left work early that Thursday because I was like, I'm coming down with something. I should rest. So I rested for a day, felt fine the next morning, went to work. That Friday night, an old friend of mine who I hadn't talked to since I'd come back from Disney, she's one of my best friends. She wanted to get together. I had bought her kind of a little keepsake gift thing because, like, she's one of my friends. I wanted to get her a gift and be like, you know, I love you. Here you go. And we met up at karaoke and I sang two songs and blew out my voice and thought, oh, great. I blew out my voice. I must still be a little bit sick. And that was the end of my voice, which if you're doing the calendar, Wednesday is the first, Thursday was the second, Friday, May 3rd was when I blew out my voice. When we were recording, you know, last week, that was May 12th. So that was a week, basically, a week and a half of no voice and finally got it back. Thank goodness Greg DeMarco's kid is graduating high school right now. And Greg is just very wrapped up in all the things for his son, the little DeMarco. Not so little DeMarco anymore, like the college student DeMarco. So we didn't do the Greg DeMarco show, much to, I'm sure, PC Tunney's enjoyment, but it just gave me a little bit more time. And I was finally like, I can sing a little bit now. And that's always exciting because I love music. Everybody, like, we're getting ready to head into musical chair season soon. And I hate not having my full voice back. And I hate that there's this incessant tickle and cough that hasn't quite gone away yet. But yeah, it's been a time.
Sounds like you should need to just, you know, get well, get back on the Greg DeMarco train and you'll be all
right.
It's
true.
You'll be all right.
All right. Yeah, it is true. Hey, you know what we should talk about? We should talk about Stanley Cup playoffs.
I mean, everything's decided except for
Freeze. We are three quarters of a way to conference finals. Like, we have three of our four teams. Final team will be determined tomorrow, I want to say.
I think it's tomorrow.
We're recording this Monday. Yeah, Monday. We're recording on Sunday. I believe it's Monday. We will have a game 7 between Vancouver and Edmonton. So we're going to talk about that series last because that's the one that's still in doubt. And we might as well just sound stupid when we make our game 7 prediction tonight and then it drops on Tuesday and then we get to where we are. But I got to start with you hate to see it. The Boston Bruins season came to an end.
Breaking my heart.
And you hate to see it. You hate to see it. Brad Marchand's punchable face will not be in the Eastern Conference Finals as Florida wins 2-1 in Game 6 in Boston. I feel like that was a pretty soft goal, if I do recall, that got by Wayman to end the game.
Yeah, you and I were texting each other, and we were both like, I can't believe that got through. I mean,
yeah,
there was a little bit of a screen, but not enough of one to he should have had that
stuck in there. Right, and it was with like less than a minute to go or something like that, or less than a couple minutes to go. It was very, very, very late in the game. Gustav Forsling, the puck luck's a real thing, man. We talk about it all the time. That's a little bit of puck luck on that score, on that goal. Because it squirted like through like just the smallest of holes. It wasn't a great angle. That was definitely like a shoot it and see what happens kind of goal that ended Boston sadly again in the second round. And you hate to see it.
Hey, at least they got to the second round this year before they flamed out against Florida. But, you know, Boston fans will be complaining about the game tying goal in what was it, game four? I think Florida pulled that out, and I honestly, you know, watched a lot of the series. Florida just looked like the better team. They really did look like the better team.
We've said it
seems like they may have Boston's number in certain respects. And, Boston got puck luck in game seven against Toronto. It didn't work for them in game six in the same arena. And, the Bruins are one of those franchises that you just look at them and say, well, they're always going to be there, but getting right to that next level seems to be an issue.
Yeah, I think a lot of it just depends on, like every other team, like who's gonna retire in the offseason? Who's Boston going to keep? Who are they going to let go? Who are they going to trade away? All the usual questions that are out there. Is Marchand coming back? Marchand coming back for another season? Like, he's getting close to retirement. I don't think he wants to. I think he'll be back. I haven't heard anything that would contradict that he's doing. But he's last couple of years has had like sad puppy face after they've been eliminated, as if this could be it for him. So it just feels like every year could be the last year of Brad Marchand. I think he just wants to go out on a champ.
He missed a couple of games due to injury, and Florida took advantage of it. I mean, they got, Boston had a gritty performance in game five. I give them that one that they won in Florida with a lot going against him when, who's Florida's coach? I forget who he is, but Richard? I think it's Richard. I don't remember. I gotta look it up. But he had that fiery just laid into his team, a profanity laden, just going off on him, like, because they were going through the motions and they just kind of assumed that it was going to come easy. And nothing comes easy in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it got them going. And then, Boston still pulled it out. But yeah, I think not having Marchand for a couple games certainly didn't help Boston's chances, because you take away that physicality that they like to do. And he's such an antagonist, generates power plays, people retaliate. And they just didn't have that. And I think Florida, you take away game one, the debacle of game one, and Florida really controlled most of the series. It was not like last year where they snuck up and pulled off this ridiculous upset. They were on the attack the whole time, and they're the better team.
Yeah, they really were. And the other star for Florida that was really, really frustrating to watch in this playoffs was, we talked about this last week, it's Pastrnak. Pastrnak was an inconsistent player in round two. When he was tight and tough, Boston tended to be tight and tough. And when he was not on, the whole team was not on. And he really was a straw that stirred the drink. And you would even see it out of the Boston faithful.
I think, Florida's big guns showed up a little bit more than Boston. I think Barkov had a pretty good series.
Right. Barkov had a great
series. Verhaeghe's always, it's like you can rely on Carter Verhaeghe for a lot of things. And Bobrovsky played,
did just enough. He did just enough.
He was right there with Swayman every step of the way. He's going to have to be better against the Rangers, but...
And if you're a Boston fan, if you want to take something out of this series and the playoffs, the emergence of Swayman at goal should be very, very exciting. Because he was not the reason that Boston went down. That guy played his ass off and gave Boston a chance every game. It was terrific. It was so great.
And we've said the last goal was a softie. Okay. He was screened. He should have made that safe. But really, you look at it, you take Swayman out of that series and it's not close. I don't think Ullmark would have performed nearly as well. But I think if Jim Montgomery learned something from last year, it was not to ping pong his goaltenders. He found he was comfortable with Swayman. He stuck with Swayman. And that really paid off against Toronto big time. Like I said, Florida just looks like the better team.
Right, and so they advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they will take on the best record in hockey, right?
President's Trophy.
The President's Trophy winners, defying trend and advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. Though, Dave, I was starting to have my doubts when we got to game four. or not, not game four, game five, as New York had been undefeated in the playoffs up until game three, through game three of round two. They finally lose their first game 4-3. Carolina kind of cracks the code. And then game five, like, Carolina looked confident. And again, they were at home. They looked confident. Or no, they weren't at home.
No,
they were on the road.
So like game four was in Carolina. They pulled that out.
Game four. And that was the one where they finally cracked Shesterkin.
For the fourth goal. And then game five.
For that fourth goal.
Game five in New York, they blitzed Boston. Or New York.
Yeah, it was. And that's what I was trying to get at. I was like, I can't remember. I think it was that game where I texted you and was like, Carolina found something.
And
I was worried. And for the New York Rangers.
You should have been, because you go to game six going into the third period. Carolina's got a 2-goal lead going. We're going to game seven. And then Chris Kreider. And I mean, you know how I feel about the New York Rangers. And I've been, it's a running joke that
fuck the New York Rangers.
Pat and I have been every time I text him is like, just in case you forgot, fuck the Rangers. And you're going to get more of that in the conference finals. But you got to take your hat off. That was a seminal performance by Chris Kreider in the third period of game six, single-handedly, natural hat trick to turn everything around and give the Rangers. I mean, that win for them, for their fan base, ranked.
That saved their playoff run.
It's right up there with Stepan's overtime winner against the Caps in game seven. It's not Matteau, of course, but it's a really big win because it puts them in the conference finals. They lose that game and go back to, you know, well, I guess they would have gone to New York for game seven.
But I think they lose that series. Yeah. I think if they lose game six, that series probably is over because Carolina looked so confident through 2.5 games.
And it just,
and I was like, man, they are flipping the switch and they're going to do it. And kudos to Kreider.
Yeah.
And the Rangers for holding down the fort.
They are really good. I mean, I take nothing away from them. You know, sweeping the Caps is one thing. Carolina really you're right, Pat. Is Carolina found out something? They kind of cracked the code. You know, Florida's watching tape feverishly right now saying, "Where did they get the best, you know, looks against Shesterkin?" Because Igor was a little bit human the last three games of the series. Even game six, he gave up goals, but he made the big saves when he had to.
But let's also be clear. He's played 10 playoff games so far, and he's given up more than 3 goals one time.
Right.
So three seems to be the ceiling. And New York offensive seems to play to that. Like, they're golden if they can defensively hold a team to 3 goals or less. So I'm really intrigued by this matchup. I think, you know, the Rangers have the advantage in goal. I think the Rangers what?
I said barely. Bob's going to play.
Bobrovsky's good. Bobrovsky's good. I think Shesterkin has been playing on a different level than Bobrovsky. In the course of the season, like, I'm still like game two of that series between the Rangers and Carolina. Like, Bobrovsky is the reason the Rangers won that game and he gave up 3 goals.
Oh, Shesterkin.
Shesterkin. I think it did. Say Bobrovsky. And it's one of those things. Carolina got like 60 shots on him and the Rangers got like 25-30, I want to say, in that game too.
Yeah.
It was God mode goaltending by Igor Shesterkin.
I tend to agree with you. I would give the Rangers the edge in goal. Not by a lot, but by enough. I think the Rangers need to tighten up their defense against Florida. There were too many lapses in things like that, and Florida will make you pay. I like the way Florida plays defense.
Florida's
better.
Offense is so good.
Yeah. Offensively, I think they're kind of a wash. You know, I think New York's more explosive.
I think Florida moves the puck better, though.
Yeah.
Like, in the zone, like, the way they pass and the way they get, like, it was... Like Boston, you could see that Boston frustrated them, even though, you know, they won the series 4-2, but Boston really frustrated them by getting their sticks in passing lanes and really disrupting what Florida wants to get you moving side to side in their end of the ice, excuse me, and really make the defense work. And you're right. New York needs to tighten up that defense, because if they don't, I think Florida will have ample opportunities, and there's only so much Shesterkin can do.
Right. Carolina had lots of good looks at Igor Shesterkin, and he was up to the challenge. I think Florida has better overall players than Carolina for the playoffs. I really think this series is going to be like which team can impose their will and be more physical. And in that respect, you got to like the Rangers and Rempe and what he can do out there. Just, he's a big guy who can, you know, do what he does, get under the skin of Florida. But it's like that in hockey. The more physical teams at this stage, when you're at the conference finals, tend to kind of get that edge. And I would give, right, you know, if we're going to make picks right now, I'm going with the Rangers in seven. I think they will have a physical edge. Shesterkin has the edge in goaltending. Florida, if they win this thing, it's not going to surprise me one bit. But I just like the Rangers a little bit more at this point. I think they can be a more physically imposing team. They got home ice advantage. That's going to be huge. That Madison Square Garden crowd, that'll help. I mean, they've lost at home once in the playoffs so far. So I like the Rangers in seven, but man, that's going to be a hell of a series. Really looking forward to that one.
I agree with you. I think the difference is a goal. I think Shesterkin is a cheat code right now, and still Florida proves it otherwise. And maybe after game one, we're texting each other on Wednesday being like, we were wrong.
I mean, but you look at like, what Boston did to Florida in game one. So I don't know if it's going to matter that much, but after two games, you'll definitely have an idea. Okay. Here's kind of where this is trending.
Well, all right. We're going to take our loan commercial break. And we remind you, Dave, we're not going to jump right in after the commercial break.
Remember, I got
playing music. Both times. That's right. Before we get to our regular commercial break, though, I do want to remind you that if you love what we're doing, if you love Hockey Talk, you love Chairshot Radio Network, make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot and invest in a Chairshot shirt. Willing to bet money if you head over to Pro Wrestling Tees right now, there is going to be a code for the upcoming Memorial Day holiday weekend that you will be able to punch in and probably save a little bit of money. And if that's the case, you can take that $19.99 shirt, spend a few dollars more, get it soft style, punch in that discount code, knock that thing down to at least the price of a standard shirt. Your giblets will thank you. When we come back from break, we are going to talk about the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference. We just talked about the Eastern Conference. We're talking about the Western Conference, and our first coaching change of the offseason has happened, or at least the first one we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
All of that and more. When we come back, you are listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Take control of your growing company's finances with Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card. With credit lines from $50,000 to $5 million, Bill Spend and Expense is here to help you thrive. Say goodbye to manual expense reports and juggling multiple cards, and say hello to saving time and eliminating wasteful spend. Try Bill Spend and Expense today at bill.com/promo500 and get $500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank. Member FDIC.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hockey Talk here on the Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the chairshot.com, where we remind you to use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/chairshot for your chair shot swag needs. Dave, we got one second round series still in doubt. We're going to cover that one last. The winner of Vancouver and Edmonton going to take on the Dallas Stars as Dallas wins in six. Colorado won the first game in OT. And even when they won the game five, I never really had a doubt that Dallas was going to win the series. You know, and it was a heartbreaking overtime goal. But I don't know. Like, I think we talked about this last week. Kel McCarr showed up for one game in the Dallas-Colorado series, and that was game five.
Yeah,
he needed to be there, and he just wasn't.
I watched the entire third period in both overtime. It was late. You know, you were asleep. I didn't bother you. But I watched. Dude, I got to tell you, man. I really think I underestimated how good Dallas is. They, right now, if you're asking me, gun to my head, pick who's going to win the cup, Dallas Stars, I think, would be my pick to win the Stanley Cup, even over New York or Florida right now. They have no, they just, as good as Colorado is, and Colorado's a great team, you know, like McCarr, McKinnon, those guys, Colorado's a great team. Man, for what Dallas did, that goal that got disallowed in the first overtime, which should have been a goal, that one should have counted. A lot of other teams would have crumbled under that and said, you know, we had the series won, it got taken away, we don't agree. They never let their foot off the gas. And yeah, Colorado had good looks, but Ottinger is one of those goalies that's like on a Shesterkin sort of level. He can just overtake, dominate games. I think I picked Colorado. I think we both picked Colorado to win the series before it started.
Yep.
And it really, I mean, 4-2, it really wasn't that close. And I really like what Dallas does. Who's that? Wyatt Mitchell. He's like this kid who just turned 21 during the playoffs. I got to look up his name to make sure I didn't butcher it, but he is just like dynamic. Like you said, McCarr had a really good shot in overtime. I mean, he came in, got between everybody, backhanded his way in, and it got, poked away at the last second. But right now, gun to my head, everything I've seen in the playoffs, I mean, New York, it won't be easy. Don't get me wrong. I really liked what I've seen from Dallas. They got game management on lock. They've got enough skilled players. Pavelski just played his ass off in that series. And it was surprising to me, honestly, to watch that game six, and just when it was on the line and Colorado's playing in front of their home fans, they couldn't generate enough persistent offense to get Dallas off their ass. And, you know, eventually, the winning goal for Duchesne was just like, there was some puck luck. This puck comes right out to him and it's like open net, you know, you're going to put it in. But yeah, Dallas is a right. Really, really, really good.
Yeah. It's so hard. I hate being on the East Coast for these West Coast series right now, because they play so late when they do these double headers. I'm very excited that the Edmonton Vancouver game will own the stage. Like, that is it. This game seven is going to be it, because I haven't been able to see much of any of these. And I would have loved to have seen Nate McKinnon and Cale McCarr get, you know, advance into the final, the Eastern Conference Finals or Western Conference Finals for a second time, to play for a chance at a Stanley Cup again. Maybe next year, you know, still years to go with that team. But yeah, it's like you said, Ottinger has made a difference. Dallas has just been solid and rock solid. Like, to put it in video game terms, like, if they had those little, like, you know how when you would pick a team and they'd have those charts that would show like what they're good at and bad at, and it'd be in some sort of bar graph form or whatever, like, it would just be like the same ratings all the way through for the team. Like, they're good at everything. They're not particularly amazing at like one thing and shitty at another. They're just rock solid all the way through. And that makes for a dangerous team. And hot goalies matter. And I do. I also think that Dallas is going to have the advantage against the winner of Vancouver-Edmonton, because this series, and let's get to it, has, one, been the best series of round two. It has been
Vancouver-Edmonton?
Vancouver and Edmonton has been the best series of round two. No team has won two games in a row in this. And we are here Game 7, Monday night, 9 o'clock Eastern time.
Wyatt Johnston is the guy's name. So I did fuck it up a little bit. I got the first name right, and I got his age right.
That's all right. You're getting there. You know, it works. But 9 p.m. Monday night, Vancouver versus Edmonton. Oh, man, I hope this goes 4 overtimes, and I'm up till 2 in the morning watching this game. I don't want this series to end. It's been so fun. It has been so fun. And no team has been particularly dominant against the other. Like, it's great. It's great. I will say this, though. I think I picked Vancouver the last time we talked about this series. I'm going to stick with my pick because that's what I picked. I want Edmonton in the heart. I want Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. I've said this repeatedly. I want them in the Stanley Cup.
Well, I think I'm going to go with Vancouver in 7 as well. But no, you're right. Last night was the first non-one goal game of the series. Everything else has been one goal. And Vancouver usually excels in these one goal games. But you and I had messaged each other when Vancouver was taking on Nashville. And you were, I know your message, like, man, Vancouver's not getting any shots on goal. That was their downfall last night. They had like 10 shots in the third period. Edmonton was very opportunistic. They made the plays when they had to. I expect a much better effort from Vancouver. I think it would be great for hockey, yes, to have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl in the finals, especially let's say the Rangers make it, okay? That's where you want, if you're the NHL and you're looking for McDavid and Draisaitl on Broadway against the Rangers, that is a really perfect Stanley Cup final. That being said, Vancouver's just one of these teams that's really gritty and just seems to know. And if it's a close game, I give Vancouver the edge. I mean, this series has been a little bit different because Edmonton's got a couple of tight ones, and then they just ran them out of Edmonton last night. But I like Vancouver in a close game. I'm going to stick with Vancouver as well for a 7-game win.
I will say it does come down to stars, and the stars have come out for Edmonton in this series. Draisaitl has 23 points. McDavid has 19 assists.
Nugent Hopkins played really well last night, and they've got the star
power. Hyman has had a good run of playoffs. Evan Bouchard. It's like I don't know. Like I think because of McDavid and Draisaitl being the offensive juggernauts they are, that we sometimes mistake their offensive talent for and the team's overall offensive talent as a lack of toughness. Like, these games have been tight. You just said it. Only one game has been decided by more than a goal. Mm-hmm. So both teams are performing. I can't wait to see this game.
And I really like McDavid's become a much more rounded player as the playoffs have gone on. He's distributing the puck a lot more. He's not looking to score as much.
He's leading the team in assists.
Yeah, that's all you need. He could score if he wants, but he gets it. He gets the big picture. It's going to be goaltending. Whichever goaltender, I mean, it sounds stupid. Of course, it's obvious, but whichever goaltender has a stronger game, more than likely, that team's going to win. I don't think, obviously, Vancouver can't get in a shootout with Edmonton. You're not going to win that. So they've got to keep things tight. They got to keep the game close. Maybe get a late goal like they did against Nashville that turns this thing around. I would not be surprised to see this go multiple overtimes. I do like Vancouver to win the series. I don't like either of these teams against Dallas, like we were just talking about. Especially you go 7 games, and then you got, you know, Dallas sitting there saying, all right, we got time to prepare. Yeah, I'm sticking with you. I'm going to go with Vancouver. Either way, you're going to get a Canadian team in the conference finals, and that, of course, keeps the narrative running. Is this the year that the drought gets ended? But yeah, it's going to be, I think, like, when you're looking at the teams, I saw a graphic on this. You look at the teams that are remaining. None of them have won a cup in this century. So you've got the Stars.
Whatever city wins this. Here's the thing. Can you imagine New York if the Rangers, much to your chagrin, and you can get mad, but New York's going to be off the chain if they win a Stanley Cup.
It is. Yeah. I hate the Rangers. We all know this. It is great for the sport if the New York Rangers win the Stanley Cup. I'm not dumb enough or bitter enough or biased enough to not see that and say The Rangers winning the cup would be tremendous for the NHL at this point in time to draw eyeballs to that and to just drive interest. Because I think a lot of people, I hear more and more people talking about it this year than last, that they are like, wow, the NHL playoffs are really, really good. It's like, yeah, they're really good. You guys are focused on the NBA, and okay, that stuff's been pretty good as well, but the NHL's got it all beat. And I think, you know, the Rangers winning the cup is the sort of thing that it hasn't happened since 94. You know, the Stars haven't had it since 99. Vancouver, Florida, never won the cup. Edmonton hasn't won the cup since 90. This is great for the sport because a desperate fan base is going to get a parade. And I think that ideally New York would win the cup because it'll be great for the sport. But any of these other teams, it's going to be a huge moment. Like you were saying, a huge moment for one of these fan bases who haven't had shit to celebrate in 25 years or longer.
Right, right. Yeah, my personal Stanley Cup Finals out of the teams that are remaining would be the Edmonton Oilers taking on the New York Rangers in the Stanley Cup. And I would prefer Edmonton be the team to end up hoisting it at the end. All right, we got one more news item we did want to talk about. An off-season decision. Toronto, after getting ousted once again early in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, fired their head coach and announced Craig Berube, former St. Louis Blues head coach, winner of a Stanley Cup in 2019, as the new head man of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, Dave, I'll ask you your reaction to this hire before I give mine. But there needed to be a change in Toronto as it was. And I hope this isn't the only change that happens in Toronto. I hope they also make some changes in the front office for their sake. We'll have to wait and see. But Craig Berube is the new head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, Sheldon Keefe had to go, and he did. And I don't think that was a surprise. You got to look at them saying, look what Craig Berube did in St. Louis in 2019. You know, against all odds, got another franchise that was, you know, let's be honest, the Blues were more, no offense, abysmal.
The Blues, when the Blues announced him as their head coaching hire, they had the worst record in hockey.
They did. And the Blues have an even worse history up to 2019 than the Toronto Maple Leafs did. You look at, I mean, at least the Leafs had won a cup somewhere in like the 48 in the 1948. The Blues had gone 50 some odd years without ever getting
there.
They
had never won a cup.
Never gotten there. So from Toronto's standpoint, another long-suffering fan base, you got to figure, can we capture lightning in a bottle twice? Is Craig Berube the right guy? He's got the experience. He's a successful coach. He's won a Stanley Cup. None of our guys can say that. So he's honestly, I mean, if you look at the talent on Toronto, Pat, I mean, that 2019 Blues team kind of came out of nowhere and collectively came together as a team. Chemistry and everything worked perfectly, like the Caps the year before. He's got a lot more talent, pure talent, to work with now in Toronto than he probably had in 2019 with the Blues. So that kind of bodes well. If you're looking at it from that standpoint, can he replicate this with Toronto? I don't know, man. There's so many intangibles that go into it. And I like the hire because he's a proven winner, has always been, you know.
I'm going to put in my two, because we're running out of time before Bandwagon Nerds need to show up and record. You talk about toughness all the time. Craig Berube is going to coach toughness. The reason why the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup back in 2019 was he brought a style of play that was very physical. Like, they weren't the best hockey players on the ice in terms, like, they were good. Don't mistake what I'm saying. Like, Alex Pietrangelo is a hell of a hockey player, for example. Pat Maroon is getting picked up everywhere for a reason. And not just because he's not the fastest skater in the world. He's not the best player. He's just tough. He's physical. That's what they did to Boston. Boston in game seven for two periods were superior in every way except for the score and the goal and the goaltending. Like Jordan Binnington was standing on his head. But the Blues, they just wore teams down. They would hit you. They were a very physical team. They were very willing to muck it up. and score. That's what Craig Berube wants. He wants guys who are going to be willing to get their hands dirty. And if Austin Matthews can learn to play like that, and if the rest of the team will come along with him, then the Toronto Maple Leafs will have a different look and identity with more talent than the Blues had when they won a cup coming from last place to first place.
No, you are 1,000%. And this is what we talked about with the Rangers-Florida series. You know, I think the Rangers can be more physical. The Caps in 2018, why'd they beat Tampa Bay? They were way more physical than Tampa Bay. You get to Game 7, Stamkos got fucking knocked out of his cleats. He wasn't wearing. On the first shift by Tom Wilson, Ovechkin scores. And off and running we go. So you're absolutely right. Can Austin Matthews, can Mitch Marner, can guys like that learn to play a more physical style of hockey? Because that's what you need to do to win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And these finesse teams, Toronto's a finesse team. Tampa Bay was a finesse team. They learned to get physical, won back-to-back cups. So, yeah, Berube's going to preach that. I think it's what Toronto needs to have a better shot at it. And, you know, you got to find that balance, finesse versus when do we go on the attack and be more finesse? When do we buckle down and just start checking people into the boards? And Berube will be a really good fit for Toronto. So I think it's a good hire. I really do.
Yep, I think it is too. One last thing before we get out of here, just announced literally as we were recording this within 1 minute, Rod Brind'Amour retained, has signed a contract extension with the Carolina Hurricanes. He is going nowhere as head coach.
He's not so, the problem in Carolina. No.
Hey, we're not gonna debate it. We don't have time to. Just a news item. I love you, Dave.
That's fine.
No. Stop, sir.
I'm gonna
stop. All right. All right. And we are going to wrap this show by having Dave now turn around and tell you how to find him on the socials and on the Chairshot Radio Network.
Now you want me to talk? All right.
I want you to talk about, I want you to do the show wrap. I want you to wrap the show.
No, you can find me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
And you can find me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday here on the Chairshot Radio Network. Monday talking nerdy stuff on Bandwagon Nerds. Tuesdays talking hockey and music with Dave with Hockey Talk and Musical Chairs. And Wednesdays, once his son finishes up his graduation responsibilities, talking wrestling with Craig DeMarco. That's going to do it, everyone, for this week's edition of Hockey Talk. We will catch you next week when we are talking conference finals. This has been Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.